morning and welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm sorry, I thought you were trying to talk to me. Remain standing just for a moment. We're so glad to have you this morning. We have friends among us, visitors, guests, and we're all part of the same family. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I want to point out that the Ordonez family has come to worship with us this morning. We had a celebration of life for Luis Ordonez on Thursday, and I just am so grateful to them that they continue to be in ministry with us, and I'm thankful for Lewis and Cora both. They've been added so much to this congregation and meant so much to many of us, including myself. And so we are just so grateful that you were here today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we have welcome cards in the pews that we'd like you to fill out. And you can also fill out prayer request cards if you want to and put them in the offering plate. We take those every week. And we greet one another with the peace of Christ by turning to our neighbor and saying, "Peace be with you," and the response is, "And also with you," because we are persons for Christ. We are here for Christ. We are Christ's people in this place. And we also take Christ with us when we leave this place. The peace of Christ is with us. So let's greet one another with the name of Jesus.
I've got a green button or a green light. There we go. Thank you, George, for that wonderful music as we gather together to pass the peace. Good morning and welcome to Calvary. My name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of August. And here we are again. Welcome back. It's Sunday. So blessed and thankful that we can start our week here in God's house, just worshiping together as a family of God. And so we welcome each and every one here today, and may you have a blessed week. Okay. Before we get started with any announcements, I would like to ask the community out here, do we have any birthdays or anniversaries that we would like to acknowledge today? If you do, raise your hand. Birthday, anniversary? No? Well, this is something we are going to address on Sunday mornings. We like to acknowledge our birthdays and anniversaries. I think God likes to have those acknowledged out loud. And so we are going to begin that. Unfortunately, my husband is not here today, but on Monday, last Monday, August 8th, Jamie and I celebrated 36 years. Okay, if there's no other birthdays or anniversaries, I'm going to get started with some announcements. Please make note of all the meetings that are going to be held this week. That's why we have bulletins, so you can take them home and you can know what's going on. I would like to read a letter from our Communication and Worship Committee. Okay, so please listen up. In an effort to present information to all of us in a more effective and current form, we are going to be making some changes starting soon. We will appreciate your patience while we give our plan a trial. So here's what they're going to be doing. First, number one, we're going to discontinue the newsletter. Number two, we will continue to print the monthly calendars that are placed on either side of the sanctuary. Number three, the Sunday bulletin will have an insert added, and that will contain our current information, such as comments for guests, the weekly calendar, upcoming events, and other pertinent items. Number four, the insert will also include announcements. Instead of reading from the pulpit, they will also be printed so that you can take them home with you, and so we're asking for your help. Please submit your announcement to the church office by the Tuesday prior to Sunday if you want it printed in the Sunday's bulletin. Example, it needs to be submitted by August 9th to be included in today's bulletin, which is the 14th. So remember, if nothing is ever changed, there would be no butterflies. So we thank the worship committee and the communication committee for that. So just to keep you updated on some changes. Do we have any other announcements? Okay.
There were, to the men of Calvary, there were slips handed out. I ask that you please fill these out. Give me your preference on whether a supper or a breakfast works best for you. We would like to get all the men of Calvary together and invite our new DS to come and talk to us. But I need these slips back in order to kind of get a feeling. I don't want to invite the DS if we only have three people show up. So please fill them out and return them, put them in the offering plate, or give them to me after the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Larry Rude. Okay. Would you please turn to your worship elements opening words? Sing to the Lord a new song.
We sing a song of peace and hope.
Sing to the Lord a song of strength.
Our strength is in the Lord of hosts.
Sing to the Lord a song of joy.
Our song is a song of service and faithfulness. Amen.
Let us continue to worship God. Let us continue to welcome Him in our midst. Let's join together, stand and sing hymn number 369.
Salvation, the purchase of God.
please remain standing and turn, if you would, to page 889 in your hymnal, in the back of your hymnal, and we will join together with the affirmation of faith. If you're there on page 889, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
That sounds like everyone. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
The same is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
Miss Robin, for helping. I have something here. What does this look like? Does anybody know what this is? It's kind of a photograph album. Now I'm going to sneak in right here next to Bradley. Here we go. I want to show you some pictures. What does it say on the front? Calvary United Methodist Church. Now, let's look at these pictures. Do you know any of these people in these pictures?
No, that's
Joe Jursa. Actually, he was a previous pastor that you had. We have children there. Look at the children in this picture. Where's you? This was before you were born. I'm showing you this, these wonderful pictures. Look at all those children there. Yeah. And look at this. What is this? Can you know what this is? It's a potluck. That's exactly right. This was back in the 1990s. This up here says 1993. That was a long time ago. This church has been around for a long time. You all were just a twinkle in your parents' eyes at that time, as we used to say. Yeah, that's right. Now, why am I showing you this book? Why am I showing you these pictures of long, long time ago? Because our scripture passage that we're going to hear about today says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that's what all of these people are. They came before us, and we stand on their shoulders and do what they did. They had faith in God, and their faith in God helps us. We are followers of others ahead of us, and that's called the great cloud of witnesses. And guess what? You boys and girls are going to be the young people when you grow up. You're going to be the young people that little ones will stand on your shoulders. You will have people who are following Bradley and John and Sarah. You will have people who say, look at them when they were little and now they're grown up, and you'll bring your children and your grandchildren. And they will learn from you. We have a wonderful gift of all these people that came ahead of us to help show us the way. Now, isn't that a good thing? Look, here's a picture of Mr. Seymour. He hasn't changed a bit. His mustache is a little grayer, but that's all. Otherwise, he looks exactly the same. We have a number of these books in the office, and so if anybody would like to see these, they are there for you to see. So I'm going to have a prayer, and then we're going to pass out some candy, and then I want John and Sarah to stay up here with me, but let's pray. We thank you, God, that you have sent people before us, that we walk down this path having people to lead us down the way so that we all can follow you. You help us through others to follow you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's some candy. Okay. She knows the drill. There we go. You got yours. All right. Okay. All right, the reason I asked John and Sarah to stay up here, I would like their current Sunday school teacher, who is Lois Carlberg, and their new youth director, who is Fran Ronan, to come forward. And I want you two to stand up so everybody gets a good view of you. And I wonder if I could get Miss Lois to say what they have achieved today. Could you just say a word about what they have achieved today? And we'll give them their certificate.
I think they've learned to read their Bibles every day.
Yes.
And I know they know how to pray.
They do know how to pray.
They are smiling and inviting other people to Jesus.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much. And Mr. Fran, do you want to say anything to welcome them to the youth group?
Yes. One of the things I like to look for is humor. I don't know if you've noticed that about me, but as they start next week, I want to give them their first joke for our Sunday school class. Do you know I talked about baseball in the Bible? Genesis 1:1 in the big inning.
In the big inning,
don't make me
which
say
inning
one.
Was that, Fran?
Genesis 1:1.
Thank you very much. We're proud of our young people. We're proud of the way they're growing. And we thank you for your support and love of them. And so I give to Sarah this certificate of promotion. Here you go, Sarah. And this one is for John. Thank you so much. Good job. We continue to serve and worship God through the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and offerings. Would the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious God, we lift up your name in praise and thank you for the gift of life that you have bestowed upon us every single day. And for this, we are grateful. Help us to be giving people, dear God, for we are only your children and we follow you in all that we do and say. And we would ask that you continue to bless us and keep us as a church. Use the gifts that we bring for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you to the choir and to Ron and George. As you can see, Andy is not with us today, and as we open our time of prayer together, I would request prayers for Andy. He's a little under the weather, and so we want to remember him in prayer. And there are a couple others this morning that I would like to lift up that I know about. Sharon Harris is at Heartland Rehabilitation on Wells Road, and she would appreciate prayers and visits if you're up that way, and she definitely enjoys having people come see her. She's recovering from a time that she experienced in the hospital. And I know you all remember and know Sarah Ferguson as the person who did our newsletter for us and did a fantastic job with our newsletter. And she moved back to Tulsa to be closer to her family because she was pregnant with twins. And so she left us. Well, those twins were born. Way too soon, way too early. One is 2.8 pounds and one is 2.9 pounds. We have Alyssa Marie and Ellen Kathleen, and we would request prayers for them, for their healing, for their growth, that they be surrounded, and Sarah, her husband James, and their family, be surrounded by love and care, because this is a scary kind of time and there's a long road ahead of them for the children to grow and be well in their lives. And so we pray for God to touch them and to surround them today. And I know there are others, and invite us to a time to pray together, starting out with silence. And so I invite you to close your eyes now, bow your heads, and take a deep breath and let it out. You know the word in the Old Testament for spirit is breath. Ruah in Hebrew is breath. Our God is as close to us as our breath and breathing. God is present. If you feel called to do so in these moments of silence, make your prayer known to us and to God by lifting the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs the breath of the Lord breathed upon it today. May your spirit today, O God, infuse us with your love. Infuse us with your healing touch. And surround all these that we have named and those that remain unnamed in your loving care. We pray to you and to one another in our need today. And ask, O God, for your goodness to be bestowed upon us as a people and as a church, that we might be your people in this time and place. We pray in the name of the one who taught us all to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would direct your attention to the screen behind me, let's all stand and join together as we sing Days of Elijah.
These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way of the Lord. In holy arms, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun.
Scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two
and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" We have a second scripture this morning found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me read part of that to you again. Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." I'm guessing that, like the disciples, we're a little bit confused by this. I know that I am. The question is, do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? Well, I would say yes. Yes, we know of Jesus as the peacemaker and the reconciler. We light a candle to remind us of our role as peacemakers. And Jesus said a lot about peace. We love to preach about peace and unity, and these are some of the most important principles by which we stand in the faith. So it's a little confusing to hear from Jesus these words. But it reminds me of a story about a man in a church that I served prior to here who had a bent arm, a badly bent arm that pained him, created a lot of pain in his life, and he went to doctor after doctor to see if they could help him, and they each told him no, there was nothing they could do. And then finally he went to a specialist, and the specialist told him, "I have good news for you. I will be able to help you. I can fix your arm. But I have bad news, too. In order to fix it, I will first have to break it." Well, Jesus comes to us today with good news, gospel news, but it's not necessarily pleasant or welcome news. And you know the old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, there's a new expression and a new model in business, and it's called, if it ain't broke, break it. What needs to be broken in this world? What needs to be changed in the church? Break it. If it's not working, break it. And it's a different message than we're used to hearing. But it's an important message. Jesus came into this world with good news, but not necessarily pleasant news. His primary message was a message of love. And as we all know from experience, love can be unpleasant at times. Love is noisy. Love is nosy. Love is very involved and messy. Love will sometimes get up in your face and in your business and will confront you with unpleasant facts about yourself. Sometimes love will break you in order to heal you. Jesus' message of love disturbed communities and families because it refused to allow people to coast along in a pleasant and unhealthy slide into death. The unpleasant but ultimately good news is that that kind of love is disruptive. It breaks what isn't working in order to create a new family, a new community of truth and love to bring into the world that kingdom of God, which we talk about so much. I believe that Jesus calls upon us to think about what needs to be changed in our lives, our communities, and yes, even the church. What is in our life together that needs a fresh perspective? What traditions no longer serve the best interest of our people or those whom we seek to serve or reach? These questions address serious issues for church leadership. There is an old model of doing church that's called the attractional model. I learned this from our district superintendent. That is, it used to be the case in centuries past that if you built it, they would come. All you had to do was put up a new building, people would flock to it. All you had to do was hire new staff, people would come. That is no longer true in our society. Because people have little experience with church. Some have never known church or know what it is to be church. And others have had bad experiences with church. To reach those people, it takes something other than just waiting for them to walk through our doors. And our job is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. The new model is called a mission or missional model of doing church. And that is going to where people are and witnessing by our lives that God loves them and we love them. I'm going to give you an example. We frequently have a number of young people out in our parking lot playing basketball on a regular basis. But they don't come in the doors of the church. We have invited them to come in the doors of our church, but they have politely declined coming in. Well, have we done everything we can? What would the missional model of doing church say that we needed to do? The missional model of doing church would say that what we need to do is take church to them. That means, for an example, maybe instead of inviting them to come in, we could go out to them, offer them food, offer them our conversation, offer them God's love, essentially. And they would have to learn to know us, get to know us, trust us before they would ever walk in these doors. That's the new model of doing church. And that's the challenge for us. The one who is known as the peacemaker says, I've come to break and challenge the status quo. I've come to bring new life and new way of doing things and thinking of things. It's good news, but not necessarily pleasant news. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Challenge could be, do we read the signs of the times? How do we read those signs? And reading the signs is not easy. I think of the story of the policeman who stopped a woman for road rage. She was driving recklessly, yelling at other drivers, honking her horn, and generally being very loud and obnoxious, and he took her into jail. He booked her and kept her there for several hours, and when he released her finally, he said, well, there'd been a misunderstanding. He said, I saw the what would Jesus do sticker on your car. I saw the follow me to Sunday school emblem and the fish sign. So I automatically assumed the car was stolen. Sometimes reading the signs of the times is not easy to do. But not all clouds are signs of rain. You may not know this, but in the Jewish tradition, clouds were a sign of God's presence. Do you remember that when, you know, Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, a cloud covered the top of the mountain, so it was closed from view to those below. And when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, they were led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. The clouds were signs of God's presence, God's protection, God's provision. What are the signs today? What do they mean? We've got a lot of different signs, and they mean different things. And we all know that life is difficult today. We are living in tough times. But in the midst of this, Hebrews points us to look at what he calls the great cloud of witnesses, those who went before us in the faith. The witnesses are a sign to us of what God can do with us and for us in the midst of difficulties and hard times. That's why I wanted the children to look at pictures. They weren't all easy times that those people in our scrapbook went through. Some of them were tough times that we went through. But they did it, and they stood on the shoulders of those who went before, and we stand on their shoulders. This is good news. We are not alone, sisters and brothers. We are not traveling down a road previously untrod. Where we are, others have been before us. And guess what? They held on to their faith. And God held on to them, and the same will be true of us. We are encouraged to look at them as a sign, a promise of God's presence, God's protection, God's provision. We are called to look at them, and then to look beyond them to the God in whom they placed their ultimate trust. And we are called to follow in their footsteps and place our trust, our lives, and our future in the hands of God who will carry us through. Amen and amen. Before we start to sing our closing hymn, I want to offer up an opportunity to have special prayer. If some of you have special needs or concerns that you would like to pray about, following the service, this altar will be open for your time of prayer, and I would ask that Ron and Dee Dee and Robin make themselves available to pray with you. If you want to come and have a prayer privately to God at the altar. You are invited to do so at the close of the service. And now let us sing our closing hymn.
If you would again direct your attention to the screen behind me, let's all stand and join together as we sing Family Song. Church or even know what it's about. We need to go out beyond ourselves into the community. So we can't remain in here. We have to go out. That's our job. We are sent people. Will you receive now the benediction? May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you.